This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
High Noon, Jones and Keefe. It's Tommy Tuesday. We'll be joined by Tom E. Curran, NBC Sports Boston, shortly. In the meantime, we can get your phone call, 617-779-7937. All your thoughts on the Patriots. Free agency, or legal tampering, rather. Day one in the books. Patriots very, very busy yesterday. Milton Williams, Carlton Davis, Harold Landry, Robert Spillane. Who else am I missing?
Morgan Moses,
on that list?
Mac Hollins, Josh Dobbs.
Thank you.
A lot of dudes.
Very, very busy on day one. It's been slower on day two, not just for the Patriots,
everybody,
but throughout the league. What were you telling me, Keith? The NFL Network was cutting in with like punter signings?
Yeah, I think the Bucks took the Broncos punter. You're like, all right. Okay. Thanks.
Thank you. This does prove the point, though. Like, we were going over all the top free agents on Florio's list, the top 100. Almost the whole top 30 is gone now. Already. And like, free agency hasn't technically started until tomorrow at 4 o'clock. So already you're picking at scraps. We're hoping and praying for Cam Robinson.
I know.
And maybe Cooper Kupp if and when he shakes free.
Yeah, that still would be a trade. There's a list of other old receivers that are out there like Diggs and Cooper and Keenan Allen. But yeah, I mean, most of it's been picked through already. You know, day one. Vikings were really busy. Bears have been busy.
You're right. Vikings have had a busy day today.
Yep.
That's an update. Will Fries? What were you calling him?
Freeze?
There,
oh, yeah. Biggie Fries.
Not Mr. Freeze?
No. I don't know what the hell it is.
Will Fries signed with the Vikings. We told you that earlier today. Burt Breer said there was a lot of action on Fries. Freeze? The Colts were trying to bring him back. So he signed with the Vikings. The Colts were trying to bring him back.
Right.
So it seems like he's kind of separating those two teams as the finalists. But he says the Patriots, Giants, Seahawks, and Cardinals also involved. Okay. That was a big deal. That was $88 million or something like that.
Yeah.
I personally don't have guard at the top of my list, but it sounds like they've been interested in a few different guards. Makari in Baltimore and Fries as well. So they're not just looking at tackles, in other words. They're looking at that whole offensive line, it seems.
Also, real quick, Brad Marchand, his head coach, gave an update. He's definitely not playing tonight.
Not playing.
And still considered.
Boom.
Yeah, still considered
Boom.
Week to week. Yeah. So just having a skate. Just out there with the new teammates, but not playing tonight.
Curious. Well, he seems to be feeling a lot better now that he's in Florida. I'll stand by that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll stand down on Marchand playing tonight.
Not happening.
That's a shame. Again, taking line rushes with Barkov, and Verhaeghe, but won't play tonight. We did get some intel from Paul Bissonnette on what he was requesting. He wanted a raise from the Bruins. So we can get back to that as well with all your phone calls, 617-779-7937. We have Kiefer Madness on the way at 1245, but it's a Tom E. Tuesday. We're joined by Tommy Curran of NBC Sports Boston. His latest is up at NBC Sports Boston right now. Overview on what the Patriots did in day one of free agency. Tommy Curran, what do you think of what the Patriots were able to accomplish on day one of, I shouldn't say free agency, day one of legal tampering? How do you think they did?
I think they made progress where the ability was there to make progress. You got to fish where the fish are, and then on the offensive side of the ball, the two obvious positions of need, and I'm sure you guys have explored it plenty over the last 24 hours and during the early portion of the show. But you can't force it. You can't force people at the point of a bayonet, whether you're Chris Godwin or Ronnie Stanley, to say, you know what, I'm going to uproot. I'm going to take that money that they're offering me and that opportunity in New England and just on a lark, just go there at my age and walk away from a team that's either a playoff team, as Tampa was, or, you know, a Super Bowl aspirant, as Baltimore was. So I look at it and say, okay, we understood that that was a chance, and they made their decision. Then you look at the defensive side of the ball, and I think that they were innovative. I do wonder, like, a signing of Carlton Davis, though, for the amount that he got, would he have been offered that kind of money if a Godwin or a Stanley were aboard? I think it's interesting to wonder about what domino effect those two missed signings had on the group they brought in.
Where do you stand on Milton Williams? Obviously a huge commitment to him. I think he's certainly shown how good he can be. The other thing is he was part of a really good defense. He was next to Jalen Carter and played less than 50% of the snaps. So where do you come down on Milton Williams, the player?
To the good, he could be nasty when you look at that defensive line. I mean, Keon White is a freak. Christian Barmore is also a freak. Harold Landry is absolutely a talented outside rusher, although he's more of an Uche than a Judon by a long shot. So you could have a really potent front. If it's just Milton Williams at 295 pounds and you don't have that complement around him to help him get better, I think it's a great point by you. He's 26. There's plenty of upside. There's a massive commitment made there. He can either be a huge part of an extremely talented defensive line or the only game in town because we don't know what's going to happen with Barmore health-wise and his availability. And Keon White is wonderfully talented, and you saw that in the early portion of the season. Then he tapered off and actually was seemingly at the scene of the crime with a lot of defensive breakdowns and loss of contain. So I like it in theory on paper. And he was you can't blame them for making that signing. But as always with defensive linemen, sometimes you hold your breath. I walked outside, so it's a little windy right now. I was not confident about my indoor reception.
Okay. It's all right. Sound good.
We're picking up a little bit of wind, but your reception sounds good. Tom, you also
Going back in.
No, all good. Tom, you also wrote that culture will be a determining factor on who the Patriots are pursuing in free agency. It certainly seems to be that way. They have ties to a lot of these players, whether it's McDaniels and his time with the Raiders or Terrence Williams' time with the Lions or, of course, Vrabel in Tennessee. How much of a determining factor is that for the Patriots, and how badly do they need that in the locker room? Because that does seem like a big point of emphasis.
It's a huge determining factor. I'm not saying it's as big as production, but it's a disqualifying factor if there's a question mark around how you would impact the players around you. Because your most important players on this team, especially Drake May and Christian Gonzalez, are young enough to be in positions where if you bring players in on the defensive side of the ball or the offensive side of the ball who might pull in the other direction. As Gerard Mayo always said, you got 10% of the team pulling in the right direction, 10% could be pulling in the wrong direction, and that 80% in the middle to see who wins. And last year, I think that in Gerard's first year here, by the end of the season, the empowerment given to players to speak their minds and feel empowered to say what you like and let your feelings be known, actually, as the team started to play worse, that 10% of the negative started to pull in a direction, and they joined in. I mean, why is Kayshon Booty, who I really enjoy, but a sixth-round pick, voicing his opinion so freely on the direction of the offense and the amount of times he should get the football? I mean, so to me, that empowerment of guys to be able to speak their minds really, I mean, speak your mind, go ahead. I mean, it is a free country still. But there should be a pecking order. And I think that when you look at a DK Metcalf or a Devontae Adams, they're not thinks, but they have an expectation for what they should get in terms of targets and production. And the Patriots looked at Drake May in particular as being the leader of the team. And if you're going to bring somebody in and give them $25, $30 million at the wide receiver position, you're inferring that they are as or more important than anybody else on your team. So they want to make sure that it's the right person that they empower with that.
Well, speaking of some of those big receivers that have not signed with the Patriots, is there a chance that Drake May isn't the draw that a lot of us around here thinks that he would be?
I don't know if I would ascribe it to May. I think that would be really the lone thing that you could look at. If you're, say you're Chris Godwin and you're deciding, do I want to play with Mayfield and stay down here in Florida with a team that went to the playoffs in a place that I'm comfortable and have always been and I'm rooted, or do I want to uproot and go to New England? What are the pros about New England? And I think that Drake May would be about their only pro. He's probably a – would I say he's better? Certainly trends better than Baker Mayfield. Yeah, he's better than Baker Mayfield.
No, he's not.
But what else?
Not right now.
Would you rather play with Baker Mayfield if you're a wide receiver? 11,
but in 2 years maybe he could be, or maybe if he has a great year. I think based on just what we saw last year.
Who's going to have a better year this year? Who's going to have a better year? Baker Mayfield. Oh, it's on.
Baker Mayfield's not throwing to Mac Hollins and Jalen Polk.
But how about another? This is a more fair one in my estimation. How about another guy who turned down their money a year ago, Ayuk, who chose to play or return to play with Purdy in San Fran?
Yeah,
like Ayuk or May? Purdy or May? I'd say May.
Hopefully May.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely. Yep. But again, we then get back to the conversation of what's the level of comfort the Patriots would have with Ayuk's demands and ability to kick rocks if he's not getting things his way. I think the bar is going to be so high. You don't have to be a pain in the ass. You don't have to be Terrell Owens in the locker room, I think, right now for the Patriots to say, not sure. Godwin fit the bill. Jacoby Myers would fit the bill. Cooper Kupp would fit the bill. I think they're setting a high bar for that. And because it's not just about May, it's about the wide receiver room as a whole. Jalen Polk and Javon Baker did not signal that they were guys or Booty, who were guys who were like, okay, we understand, we know our place, whatever we can do to make ourselves better. Jalen Polk's proclaiming himself to have the best hands in the league. Javon Baker on draft day is telling everybody how unbelievably he's going to perform, so that he's performing literal miracles. So they're very concerned about the cultural aspect. And that trumps character aspect. I want to reiterate that. Character, to me, when you start talking about kids' character when they're 22 and 23, that's tough. It's cultural. What do you like? Not are you a bad person, because we all change all the time.
We're talking to Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston. He joins us every Tuesday here on Jones and Keefe at high noon. We call it a Tom E. Tuesday.
I love that too.
Yeah, Keith, nice. you can give the hat tip to Rich Keith there. Yeah,
no. You're kind of locked in now.
That's true. We can't. No other days for you. No options. It is day two legal tampering. What are you hearing? What are they going to get done here in the next 28 hours leading up to the official start of free agency?
It's interesting because they talked about pivots and moving and the ability to be mobile, and I think we saw that. For instance, we see a guy like Cam Robinson continuing to sit out there. If you look at some of his numbers from 2024, he's not an encouraging guy. He is seen, I think, as he's a left tackle, of course, and that's a position of need. So he's seen as a player that would be the number two guy behind Ronnie Stanley, and he's still sitting there on the board. I think that the Patriots are moving quickly to tier two free agency, as the signing of Mac Hollins would indicate. I would also say continue to stay loose on Jacoby Myers. I think that the Patriots want to move somebody. I mean, let me rephrase that. I think the Patriots will explore trades of all manner. That is, they've already reportedly made entries on A.J. Brown. I think they were rebuffed. I think Matthew Berry reported that. Jacoby Myers will be a target. Cooper Kupp, if he hasn't been released, that release is imminent. So all of those guys would be looked at as tier two. I think that the Josh Dobbs signing means that the Joe Milton flip could be imminent. So I would bear that in mind too. And something I mentioned a couple weeks ago, just spitballing, why not send Joe Milton for Jacoby Myers? It's an easy flip. Pick up his $10 million contract for 2025, and figure out if you want to do an extension with him. Again, Jacoby Myers is not an elite wide receiver, but he is an 85-catch-a-year guy, and you know where he's going to be when he starts his route, and he's pretty durable. So I continue to bang that drum.
What about Cooper Kupp? You mentioned him. Jones and I both like him a lot, and it sounds like he's going to get released, but why take that chance of him picking you over other teams? Should they offer some sort of late-round pick in exchange for him now?
We all do this. Do you sometimes get to a point where you feel like you're finding fault with guys?
That's my default position. Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
That's the wrong guy to ask.
Who are you talking to?
Yeah. Do I sometimes feel that? Yeah, no, I'd say I feel that. Yeah.
What do you think of this Jesus guy? I don't like the long hair.
Again with the sandals?
Damn, Daniel. But you look at Cooper Kupp and the ability to play 17 games, it's just not there. Mm-hmm. Additionally, I don't know Cooper Kupp's character. No, that's not the right. I don't know about Cooper Kupp's cultural fit. Character, again, I just said, I don't like using that word because it is, unless you know the guy's a horrible human, let's stick away from that. Cultural fit. You got a guy who's been in Los Angeles, performed and produced at the level he has, and now he's going to come to New England, clear across the country to a different climate, different situation, with different aspirations for the team. Do you guys want to do that? I think everybody looks at their own careers, and there are probably times that you do it. Maybe he would look at that and say, you know what? This place thinks I'm good still. This place wants to give me a chance. I can help this kid, Drake May. I like Josh McDaniels. I think he's smart. Maybe he would, or maybe he'd be in a position like, do I want to do that at this point in my career? Go to a building team? So I think every player is different. But that's why I would look at Cooper Kupp, and you really have to vet what he would want from the team he's going to.
Does any other activity in free agency to this point steer you in a direction when it comes to the number four pick in the draft or their approach with the number four pick in the draft?
The fact that they haven't addressed left tackle with a starting level individual continues to make me believe that they're going to have to do that on day one, whether that is taking someone at four, Membu or Campbell, whether that's dealing down, trading that pick, and especially if Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter aren't there. But if you're sitting there looking at Will Campbell and Membu at four and you feel, and I'm spitballing here, I don't know how they feel about Membu necessarily. I do think that there's a lot of appreciation for Campbell. But if you're sitting there staring at that spot and saying, we can get one of these two guys, can we move down and add? But to answer your question more succinctly, because I'm in a babble mode right now, yeah, I think it impacts what they're going to do, especially on the offensive line, because you can't go in with a straight face saying, this is all we have at left tackle. Good luck, Drake.
All right, he's Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston, every Tuesday on Jones and Keefe. We call it a Tom E. Tuesday. You can check out his latest at NBC Sports Boston. For the Patriots, free agency, a reminder that there are no shortcuts. You're back on Quickslants tonight, right? I've seen the polls going out today. You're back on Quickslants? Nice.
Yeah, we're going to go crazy with the polls, too, because I know that people have a lot of opinions all cooped up, so we're going to have plenty of polls in tonight's program at 6 o'clock.
Okay.
Very good.
Tommy Curran's polls. Yes. You can see that tonight on NBC Sports Boston. You can hear them on Thursdays with WEEI Afternoons and every Tuesday at high noon here on Jones and Keefe. Tom, we appreciate the time as always. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much, guys.
Thank you, Tom.
Tommy Curran. Still beating the drum for Jacoby Myers. Jacoby Myers for Joe Milton. How would you feel about that?
I'd do it. I'd do that.
I think that one I would do. I said before, yeah. I'd want a day two pick, but now you're telling me no
you
draft
get a
pick.
Number two receiver
Thank
kind
you.
Of thing.
No draft yeah, pick compensation it. For Myers.
Yeah.
I was about to ask, why would the Raiders do that? He answered it. They just want to ditch the contract. So Milton for Myers. Okay. Yeah, I would do
but
that.
Also, what's the Raiders quarterback room right now? Geno Smith and, right? They got Geno, didn't they? So, yeah, so maybe they even take him.
Do they still have Yeah, who's the O'Connell? Aiden O'Connell. Thank you. Yeah.
Oh, all right. Maybe they do. But I mean, it's a new wave of it's a new GM. It's a new coach, and maybe they'd be like, "All right, we're going to change this up anyway." Yeah, I think they do have Aiden O'Connell, but whatever. Like, they take a shot on Joe Milton, more importantly, get rid of the contract of Myers, open up that spot. But that'd be a great addition for the Pats. It's not one where you're like slam dunk number one receiver, but it's the type of guys that Drake May needs. And if Drake May is going to have a season better than Baker Mayfield or better than Brock Purdy, you need reliable receivers.
He sounds very down on Cam Robinson.
Yeah.
If you're following Bedard today, Bedard is like super down on Cam Robinson. He's like, I'd rather wait it out with Vidarian Lowe than overpay for Cam Robinson.
Well, so then this is turning into you're forced to take a player there in the draft.
So this is what Curran just said. Curran just said maybe at four they look at Membu or Campbell, or maybe they look to move down to take one of those guys. Mark Daniels yesterday over at Mass Live had this tweet. He says if the Patriots don't land a legit left tackle, and I don't think they're going to play Morgan Moses there, but I guess we should.
Maybe there isn't one. If those guys don't think Cam Robinson is, then there isn't one available, I don't think.
He says if they don't land a legit left tackle, watch out for Will Campbell at four. Several fans of him inside Gillette Stadium.
Curran basically said
that. I was going to say, I'd have to re-listen to what Curran just said, but he said something like a lot of respect something like that for Will Campbell within the walls of Foxborough. So you're now hearing that a couple of different places.
So it wouldn't be ideal if Hunter or Carter are on the board and then you still end up drafting for like need instead of what could be a generational type player. But if both of those guys are off the board and you could do worse, it's not my top choice.
Based on their approach to free agency and knowing that both those guys would be gone in that scenario, Field Yates did a mock draft today. Abdul Carter was falling to the Patriots at four.
So if you took Campbell over Abdul Carter, like,
stupid.
That'd be bad.
If you took Campbell over Hunter, I wouldn't do that. But let's say those guys are gone.
Mm.
Based on their start to free agency, I'm a little more open to the idea of an offensive lineman like Campbell.
Yeah.
Even though he's imperfect at four.
Yeah.
I personally am a little more open to it. I'd still like to see them sign Cam Robinson. You have Robinson, you have Moses. Really let the draft come to you.
Mm-hmm.
But not a lot of love for Cam Robinson listening to Curran and reading Bedard today. 617-779-7937. You can jump in here. Jones and Keefe, all your reaction on day two, legal tampering of NFL free agency. We have a Kiefer Madness on the way at 1245. You can still vote in the Jones and Keefe March Madness uniform bracket. At Jones and Keefe on Twitter. You can see the full bracket on Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keefe.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient. Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is about Carolina. There is a bigger bag alert.
What?
Being handed out by the New England Patriots. Oh, yeah. We had a source today. There was a deal to be finalized for Milton Williams with the Carolina Panthers that was reported. Then we were told by this man, whoa!
Yeah.
Wow! No deal had been signed. Woo. We wondered if Rap Sheet had maybe a little piece of information saying, hey, we are still very much in this game. I know it's being reported that he's going to the Panthers, but D-tackle Milton Williams, Super Bowl champion, gets a $26 million per year deal done in New England.
Hearing again the bigger bag alert, I love it even more.
Bigger bag alert.
Sometimes you just got to tip your cap, Keith.
Yeah, well played.
Like Curran loved Tommy Tuesday. That was all Rich Keefe.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, we win some and then we lose some. Sometimes you just got to tip your cap to the McAfee show and it's go bigger right bag alert. They got us there.
We weren't on the air for that. That's the thing is these signings happen right after we get off the air.
I hate that you said this early in the show.
So true.
And now we're midway through the show, more than midway through the show. And it's like they haven't done squat.
Marchand traded 3:00. We're like driving home. Yesterday, Milton Williams,
like
big
bagger alert. The whole team traded.
No, that's also a good point.
Friday,
yeah,
this Friday
like,
after 2:00.
Yeah. And then everybody, Coyle, Carlo, everybody.
We were on the air for some signings yesterday, but the biggest one happened after we got off the air. So, right, like Cooper Kupp's about to get released at like 2:01.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody will sign him by 3:00.
Patriots get Steph Diggs.
Patriots will sign Cam Robinson at 2:30. That's kind of the way things are trending.
Yeah.
Day two in legal tampering. Let's just reset this. Day one, thumbs up, thumbs down. Did you like it? Still more work to do. Do you have to wait before you can officially grade it, not knowing what they're doing at tackle and wide receiver? Are you upset they don't have a tackle and a wide receiver? How'd you view day one?
First two things you said I agree with. I think it's good and also the more work to be done. I mean, this team had so many needs. Like when Vrabel took over and you were looking at the roster, how many times would we have different conversations throughout last year and throughout the entire offseason where you say, I like the quarterback and I like one corner. Everybody else, you can kind of take them or leave them. And some will look better if you get better players at their positions, right? So that's what they did yesterday, and they beefed up on defense. They're closer to being a good defense than they are a good offense. So I'm happy with the additions that they made yesterday. I'm happy with the signing of Milton Williams more so for the contract in a weird way than the player, just because they are a factor now. They can spend big money. They're willing to spend big money. We've been killing them for 3 years for not spending any money on the team and then being surprised that they would win 4 games. So this year they are spending money. They spent more money, I think, than anybody in free agency yesterday. So Milton Williams, we'll see how he does getting out of that Philly defense, but has a chance to be great. You get a big tackling linebacker. You get a edge rusher who has the ability to get 10 sacks. And then I think the best signing of the day, even if it might have been a slight overpay, that's fine. It's free agency. Carlton Davis. So now you have one of the better cornerback duos in the NFL. So everything on defense I like. Offense, I think, is a TBD. They added bodies, but it's very much a TBD.
It's definitely TBD. Could they sign Cam Robinson? There's your left tackle with Morgan Moses, your right tackle. Could they bring in Kupp? Could they flip Joe Milton for Jacoby Myers, as Curran suggested? I'd feel a little different, and I would feel like Vrabel paid off on exactly what he said. We're going to approach free agency where we're filling needs and let the draft come to us. That doesn't mean you have a perfect plan at tackle. That doesn't mean you have a perfect plan at wide receiver, but you've at least brought in some real professional players where you didn't have real professionals at those spots a year ago. Mm-hmm. And the defense I like, I'm not going to criticize them for spending money. Maybe they overpaid for Milton Williams. So what?
That's free agency.
Maybe you overpaid for Carlton Davis. So what? You needed to overpay for some of these guys. You had nobody on the roster. So I might nitpick it and say they overpaid, but I'm willing to overpay on these guys.
Why did you prefer Carlton Davis to Milton Williams as your favorite signing of the day?
I just think that, first of all, it may be a little bit more of a sure thing. He plays every snap. Milton Williams does not play every snap. And, we'll see how he does. He's 26, so sky's the limit. But playing next to Jalen Carter and in that Eagles defense, I think might benefit you quite a bit. Whereas Carlton Davis, we know, we've seen enough of him. We know he's a good corner. And he's also your number two corner. And so I think going up against all these different offenses, whether it's Buffalo, Miami, or whoever New York gets for their quarterback, they have Garrett Wilson. Like, you're set up now to be one of the, like, Denver's defense last year. They had good corners, and that was a hard defense to go up against.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of it brings you up to at least average, right? Like, you could see with a really good defense maybe the ability to even win eight games and then kind of go from there. But I like having a top cornerback combo. Well, you can't just pick on the other corner not named Gonzalez now.
And Rich Keefe Stats and Info did this research earlier today.
That's right.
But there was one top 10 defense by points per game last year that didn't make the playoffs. It was the Miami Dolphins, who were 8-9.
Right.
Like, if you're an 8-win team and knocking on the door of the playoffs, I don't think we're going to complain about that. That's not a perfect team by any means.
Nope. It doesn't mean you're all set on offense. Like, hey, we're going to be really good on defense and only win on defense. Like, nobody's doing that. Nobody's only winning on one side of the ball. But they saw an opportunity. And also, based on who was available out there, like, there were probably a couple more corners to go out and get than straight up free agent wide receivers, right? Like, some of the other guys were, Metcalf and Debo and maybe Kupp are all trades. So it was like, you tried on Chris Godwin. If you believe the reports, they tried quite a bit on Chris Godwin and didn't get him. And I don't love any of the other names that are out there. So why not beef up on secondary?
So here's two things I liked. And listening to Curran, I think he detailed it pretty well. Carlton Davis, I said earlier, I was like, oh, well, that tells you how much they have to overpay for players. DJ Reed went for $16 a year, AAV, not getting into like any of the minutiae of the contract, which we'll continue to find out. But $16 million AAV, they're paying what I think is a worse player, Carlton Davis, $4 million more per year. So that right there tells you, a guy like DJ Reed will go contend with the Lions at $16 million a year, where you have to pay a guy like Carlton Davis to leave the Lions $20 million a year. So I think that illustrates it, but Kern made a good point too. Maybe Davis was an example of them pivoting. Not pivoting off of DJ Reed, but pivoting off of Godwin.
Mm-hmm.
Pivoting off of Stanley. We're going to use this money. They certainly made sure they pivoted to give Milton Williams more money. Oh, you're going to Carolina? No, you're not.
Yeah, that was big.
$104 million, whatever it was, 60-something guaranteed. We're going to get it done. So I like that. I also like, and I am more confident now after seeing free agency play out, Vrabel is running the show.
100%.
I was skeptical of that. I wonder why Elliott Wolf is here. I still think Wolf is going to have more influence than just somebody who's playing out the string on his contract. I don't think he's just here to get coffee.
No, everybody with the exception of Milton Williams, right, overlapped with Vrabel, Williams, or McDaniels.
Correct.
Yeah.
So I think Wolf is, a secondary at best piece, and Vrabel's running the show, which I feel good about. So if they don't get a tackle, I'm not going to blame Wolf. If they don't get a tackle, that's Vrabel. If they don't get a wide receiver, I'm not going to blame Wolf. I'm going to blame Vrabel. But all the moves they've made so far, I'm going to credit Vrabel. And their defense is definitely better. So you can jump in, 617-779-7937. Tom is in Hull. What's up, Tom?
Hey, guys. A couple things. One good, one bad. Pats, you got 22 players that you got to play. 11 on each side. We got 5 starters that we just signed, which was huge. They did a great job, and there's more to come. We got the 4th pick, so we're probably going to have 6 starters.
Probably.
So I'm very, very excited. I've totally changed about the Pats and the craft, and I'm psyched.
Good.
So now I got to touch on Marshawn.
Uh-huh.
So we give Swayman who has played 70 games. Okay, we give him $8 million a year, and we can't give our captain, who won a Stanley Cup, heart and soul of the Boston Bruins for the last how many years? We can't give him $6 million a year. Instead, we got to watch him come back to the Garden in a Florida Panthers, shirt. Are you kidding me?
Okay,
pathetic. All right, boys.
So, Tom,
Tom.
I think you're a little wrong on the numbers. The Bruins were offering him $6 a year.
6.3. And he wanted more. He wanted over $1 million more than that.
According to Paul Bissonnette, he wanted 7.5 a year.
But also, this is one of those things where I think as fans, we are kind of swept up in it. and you almost want to pay players based on past performance and not future performance. But isn't that what the job is supposed to be? So, like, Jeremy Swayman was going to get more based on his age and what you were hoping he was going to be in, like, a true number one, like, top five goalie in the league.
Look, I think the Bruins at 6'3", were 3 years, 6'3", were more than fair. More than fair to Marchand.
3 years is kind of even a surprise, but based on what they've done with some of the old guys before.
And tell me if this is contradictory. All right. Also don't blame Marchand for saying, guys, I did win a cup. You're paying Lindholm, who's a bum. You gave McAvoy and Swayman and Pastrnak, you gave them their money, so where's mine?
Yeah.
I don't really blame Marchand for feeling that way. I wouldn't give it to him if I'm the team, but I don't blame Marchand for feeling that way. And if you're upset, like Tom and Hull, that he's on the Florida Panthers, you know who you can blame?
Brad Marchand.
You can blame Brad.
He picked the Panthers. They traded him to where he wanted to go.
So I think he did it out of spite. And it's interesting to me, and apparently he's not playing tonight, and he's still, quote-unquote, weeks away. It's interesting to me he was able to get out on the ice now that he's a Florida Panther. Couldn't do that. Weeks away when he was here with the Bruins.
Yeah.
It's interesting he's out there skating around at the Garden with Barkov and Verhaeghe today now that he's in a Florida sweater. And so that's just interesting to me, if nothing else.
I just think it's funny, too, how both say, you know, even in Jacob's statement, they really wanted him. Sweeney and Neely really wanted him. Martian really wanted to stay. Yeah, he's with Florida. They go, everybody so desperately wanted to stay.
Like, yeah, no, everything was good. Everybody liked each other. There was nothing bad in the room. They all wanted to stay together. And yet, somehow, he wanted a raise. They wouldn't give it to him. And now he's on your biggest rival.
Got it.
That all adds up. Everything must be good there.
So now, it's going to be pretty tough next year. Does he get $7 million, $7.5 million for 3 years from another team next year? Because what if he ends up signing for six?
I'd take the under on 7.5, but yeah, six and a half, seven. I bet he can get that for 3 years.
I don't think the Bruins offer him anything. I don't think he even asked the Bruins. But I'm just saying.
Like, I don't think he'd come back.
No. But yeah, it's kind of crazy how it all works out. So his next contract is going to be fascinating.
617-779-7937. More on the Patriots and changing the culture in the room, not the character in the room, as Tommy Curran kept saying over and over again. And then
speaking of characters, they did get Mac Hollins.
They absolutely did.
The barefoot Contessa.
So there's an emphasis on culture. There's also more work to be done at left tackle and wide receiver. We'll get back into that. And it's Tuesday. It's 1245, which means we have the Madness. Kiefer Madness next.
It's time for Kiefer Madness.
Kiefer Madness.
Richard Kief, I think it is. Rich Kief.
Who is that?
How you doing, ladies and gentlemen? My name is Joshua Adams.
What now? It's Kiefer Madness.
Where's Kief?
Where is he?
Where's Kief?
Where is Kief?
Hey, Kief, you're a douche.
I was doing Junko Inoshima from Danganronpa.
I'm a firm believer in UFOs and Sasquatch.
That's funny.
Yo, Kiefer Madness is so hit or miss.
Kief is a nice guy.
Kief's a nice guy. Okay.
Kiefer Madness?
It's Kiefer Madness on WEEI.
I bring it.
Now, why do you think an alien would wear a wig?
I think for aesthetic reasons.
A Bigfoot murdered three guys on a dope farm.
The maid of honor hit the bottle hard and almost hit the best man with his own car.
Are there guys who kick with both legs?
All right, here we go. It is time for Kiefer Madness on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. And boy, Jones, do we have a story for you. A PSA for anybody who owns a dog, I would say, which is you, which is me. A lot of people own dogs.
Yeah, it's a sizable percentage of the population, yeah.
I would think most of a lot of people do have dogs, right? Dogs are a man's best friend, after all. Memphis, Tennessee is where we go for this story. I don't know if you've ever been to the Memphis, Tennessee.
Nope. Beale Street? Never been.
Never been.
Never walked in Memphis.
No, you haven't.
Nope.
All right, let's find out what's going on down there.
Frazier man recovering from a gunshot wound, and you won't believe who he claims shot him.
Okay. I may have given it away a little bit.
Did you?
Maybe
I wasn't listening close
A little
enough.
Bit. A little bit. So a gunshot wound, and you'll never believe who shot him.
Oh,
Yeah,
perhaps you did. I'm sorry.
I kind of did.
Yeah, I thought I wasn't listening to the news story.
No, I get it now. You heard it.
I was like, Ghost of Elvis? Like, what could be going on?
Nothing like that.
I think I get it now.
Derrick Rose missing a free throw?
Man's best friend?
Perhaps.
Or is it?
Enemy.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us. I'm Greg Hurst.
Hi, I'm Stephanie Scurlock. The bizarre incident happened early Monday morning on Whitney Avenue. WREG's Mike Sirianni picks up the story from here.
All right, let's dive in.
You probably heard the expression, when dog bites man, it's not news. When man bites dog, it could be news. But
hey, that's the expression?
We've all heard it. Yeah.
There's no way that's the expression.
I've never worked in a newsroom.
I mean, this guy's been in the news a long time.
I'm not a journalist, Keith. I make a point all the time. Yeah. I am not a journalist. Just, I never pretend to be a journalist.
No. To paint the picture, this is the world's oldest journalist. They have him on the scene for this story.
Hey, he's still out.
Yeah.
Man on the street.
He's like, you guys know the old adage.
We heard the expression, when dog bites man, it's not news. When man bites dog, it could be news.
Okay.
I mean, if a man bites a dog, I suppose we do have a story on our hands.
I feel like
we probably track that down.
How would it not be news?
Like, oh.
When is that? What is that not news? Just out of curiosity.
Now, if your dog bit a man, no one would know because your dog doesn't have teeth.
No, he's just.
This might be the only way Jones' dog could harm someone.
It's true.
He's just gumming you.
You got gummed.
Yeah.
You been gummed by that dog.
I've been gummed by a loose 12-year-old Cavalier.
We heard the expression, when dog bites man, it's not news. When man bites dog, it could be news. But when dog shoots owner, now you got a real story.
If it bleeds, it leads.
Dog shoots owner.
Uh-huh, yeah.
That's a story.
Yeah.
Throw out all the old adages. We got a new one.
I mean, it's a good point. Have we ever had a man bites dog story in Kiefer Madness?
I don't believe so.
I
did have a run of bath salts, which was just men biting other men. We did that story years ago.
Yeah, we covered that very thoroughly. That's true.
The whole state of Florida was just riddled with bath salts for like a hot month.
Yep. No, that's accurate. But yeah, okay. Dog shoots man. Now you got something.
Dog shoots man. Hmm. Let's send out our oldest reporter. There is that's him on Twitter and or on Twitch and YouTube. You can see this guy. He's got a little bit of Fritz Weatherby to him. The guy on the New Hampshire Chronicle.
Okay.
Who just gives you like a history lesson in New Hampshire. You ever seen that guy?
No.
Oh, can you spin a yarn, Jones?
Not from New Hampshire, but okay. Interesting.
It pops up. You don't have Channel 9?
I have it. I don't watch it, but I
you
have
should.
It. Yeah, okay.
Both Chronicles are great. Yeah. The New Hampshire Chronicle, you get Fritz Weatherby, who's like, he'll be sitting on a stagecoach and he'll give you like a 20-minute story about like some guy that like rode past it once.
I didn't know there was even a New Hampshire Chronicle.
No, I didn't even know. Probably the original Chronicle.
Wow.
Would be my guess.
Hmm.
Probably not. But here we go.
That's reportedly what happened at this address on Whitney Avenue in Fraser early Monday morning.
I know what happened. I just know somebody got shot.
All right, so now we're getting some eyewitness reports. Maybe not eyewitness, but we're getting some boots on the ground.
Yeah, I'd be, you know, you want to snitch on this dog.
Well, you're
They're eating the dogs. They're eating the cats.
That was a story.
Yeah, that
made
quite a story.
National news.
Maybe this is why they were eating them.
You're going to find out, though, these people in Memphis are pretty tight-lipped about the whole thing.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't. They sent their best guy on this story, but I don't know if we're going to get a lot of details.
Look, you know the saying, Keith. If a dog bites man, that's not a story. A man bites dog, it could be a story.
Could be.
But I know snitches get stitches. I know that. I know that one. That's one I know.
Yeah, I've heard that for sure.
I know what happened. I just know somebody got shot.
A disturbing scene for this person who didn't want to be identified.
First the police pulled up, and then the fire truck, then the ambulance.
So what? Police, fire, ambulance.
Yeah.
In that order.
Yeah.
All right. Fair enough. Man who would speak but would not be identified.
No. A bunch of first responders. Look, the dog's got a gun, Keith. You don't want to say too much.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
According to police, a man and woman at this address were lying in bed, relaxing and talking.
Nice. Hell yeah.
Tell us a little bit more about this. Just a guy and a gal laying in bed, relaxing, talking.
Might not be news or...
Could be a story.
Certainly could be news.
When the man's dog jumped on the bed, got its paw stuck in the trigger guard of a weapon, and ended up hitting the trigger.
Okay, hang on.
So we're supposed to believe that a man and a woman were laying on the bed just talking.
A reverse paw grab. Mm-hmm.
And a dog jumped onto the bed, stuck his paw into the gun, and fired a round off?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay. Listen, I wasn't there. I can't tell you it didn't happen. It seems far-fetched.
What do you think? Far-fetched.
The weapon discharged, around grazing the top left thigh of the 39-year-old man. Monday, family and friends came by, but did not want to appear on camera and were still processing what happened.
All right.
Okay.
Nobody's talking and we're blaming the dog. That's what it feels like to me. Something happened in this house. A gun got shot.
Something freaky went down.
Dog, do you want to talk about it? Nope.
No.
But I will tell you that it was the dog. like
grazed my thigh.
Got my right in the thigh. Got me. Like grazed.
There was a freak incident, and the dog jumped up and caused the gun to discharge.
I mean, please.
Yeah. Blaming the dog sounds like a
oldest dad trick in the book. The dog did it.
Tell me more about this discharge.
Yeah.
A friend of the victim told me the dog involved is a pit bull about a year old named Oreo.
All right.
You're blaming Oreo? It's a puppy, for God's sakes.
I don't like this either. So now it's we're blaming a pit bull.
Pit bull.
Pit bull did it.
It's a one-year-old dog named Oreo.
Reeks of a cover-up, Keith.
It does.
Not to play my normal side of the stream.
Inside job.
It's an inside job. They all inevitably come back to being an inside job.
Does this not sound like an inside job?
It sounds very much like an inside job.
Thank you.
Yeah, he's really friendly. He is a pit bull, but he's a very friendly pit bull.
Unless he has a gun.
Yeah.
When he has a gun, all bets are off.
Don't snitch on him, because he'll...
No.
He knows people.
Get you in the thigh.
This is really odd, isn't it?
It is, yes.
Is your friend going to be okay?
Yes, he's fine. He's fine.
The victim was taken to Regional 1. When police asked for the weapon, the victim told them the woman left the house and took the weapon with her.
Oh, boy.
What on God's green earth are we doing here? We have half of this story at best.
So now the weapon's missing?
So the dog shot the guy in the thigh, and then the woman just took the gun?
Yeah.
Just left with the gun?
Yeah, well, you know, we don't need that anymore.
Police did recover one shell casing. I was told Oreo is at home, but I was not allowed to take his picture.
I asked. Nicely.
I tried to interview him.
Can I just talk to the dog?
No, you can't talk to the dog.
Can I take his photo?
No.
They won't even let you take a picture of the dog.
Does anybody in this story exist?
Is anybody telling the truth about any of it? No.
The dog's out in the yard. He's taking a dump or whatever. He's like, Oreo, I got some questions for you.
Can I take a quick pic?
Hey, Oreo, picture?
Just a selfie with you, Oreo.
He's like, not doing it. All right.
For your news leader in Fraser, Mike Suriani, WREG News Channel 3.
Quite the unusual story there. And the victim, 39-year-old Gerald Kirkwood, has been discharged from the hospital. Police have ruled this an accidental injury, and their reports do not indicate any charges were filed.
I think, nothing happened?
What are these cops doing?
I don't know. I think they're waiting for Fritz Witherby to break it down for them, and he's got no info.
I think they need to reinvestigate that.
They were not being very cooperative.
Yeah.
At all.
This is...
This is something stinks.
Something does.
Something stinks.
But when dog shoots owner, now you got a real story.
And finally, now we got a story. Dog shoots owner.
Okay. Text line is very skeptical.
You think?
Of what's going on.
There's not a... Right.
One text. I only see one of these, Keith.
Okay.
Fritz retired last week. They did a farewell speech and everything. I'm sorry, farewell special and everything.
Well, congratulations on a hell of a career, Fritz. We should have him on the show. We could ask him one question at 10 o'clock, and we'd be like, all right, afternoons are next. The guy can tell a story.
Yeah, maybe you've had guests before in the history of Kiefer Madness. We could bring on another guest, right? You've had the Bigfoot Hunter.
Yeah, Rick Dyer, who killed two big feet. We had him on.
I recall that.
I asked him what happened to the two Bigfoots that he killed. He told me that one of them the government took, and the other one he lost.
The dog shot it?
No, he said he lost it.
Yeah.
Well, he had proof, but the government took one, and then he lost the other one.
Keith, we've been looking for Bigfoot for how long? You get one? Of course the government's going to take one of those.
He shot one in, like, Tennessee, which was I did not expect that. I thought they were more Pacific Northwest, but he said he found them everywhere. Yeah. He won in Tennessee.
Yeah, they're not that hard to find. Rick Dyer finds them left and right.
Now,
I thought it was West Virginia, Bigfoot spot.
Oh, yeah, maybe. They also have the Mothman in West Virginia.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Famously. Yeah.
No chupacabra.
Yeah, Fritz Witherby, retired. 88 years young.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omised, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omised.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, non-stop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. but that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.